Our sermon today is based on a reading from the book of Job, chapter 10, verses 8 through 12. Job said, "Your hands fashioned and made me, and now you turn and destroy me. Remember that you fashioned me like clay, and will you turn me to dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? You clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and steadfast love, and your care has preserved my spirit." Thank you, God, for being with us in the midst of all our troubles and woes. I might have got a little bit out of order with this Eat Your Way Through the Bible series. Last week we had a slice of cake, dessert, before the entree. Well, as someone said, life is uncertain, so eat dessert first. And I won't let it bother me too much because stressed, spelled backwards, is desserts. At a highly formal dinner, there's often a cheese course served before the dessert course to kind of act like a palate cleanser. Who doesn't like cheese? I actually do have a friend who doesn't. When he retired, I was tempted to sign him up for the Cheese of the Month Club in hopes of changing his mind. Researchers in France, the land of cheese, have discovered that the region of the brain that fires up when hungry people see food remains inactive in some people when they see or smell strong cheeses. They are just not tempted by cheese. Those poor people. Poor Gary. Cheese is good. As Avery Ames says, life is great and cheese makes it better. My favorite sandwich of all time is a simple grilled cheese sandwich, nice and buttery and cheesy and gooey. That was my go-to lunch for years when I was in high school. Funny thing about GCSs, as I call them, I can wolf one down and it'll be so darn good that I want another one right away, but the second one isn't nearly as good as the first one. So how did cheese get to be such a big deal in the first place? The word cheese appears only three times in the entire Bible. David's father, Jesse, instructed him to take 10 cheeses to the commander of his brother's unit when they were in their standoff with the giant Goliath. When David was on the run from his own son, Absalom, some of his loyal supporters brought honey and curds, sheep and cheese from the herd for David and the people with him to eat. For they said the troops are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. The third mention of cheese in the Bible is in the scripture passage from Job that I just read. Job. His is a tough tale to read. He's going along his merry way in life, blessed beyond belief with cattle and camels, sheep, oxen, donkeys, and 10 children. He's minding his own business when the Satan points him out to God. The Satan says, "If Job lost everything he had, he'd curse you to your face, God." God takes up the challenge and tells the Satan to go ahead and do his stuff, but don't touch Job himself. Then Job was hit with an absolute tsunami of misfortunes. His oxen and donkeys were carried off by the Sabaeans, who also killed all of his servants, except for one who managed to escape to tell Job what had happened. Fire burned up the sheep. The Chaldeans carried off the camels. And while his children were eating and drinking together, suddenly a great wind came across the desert and struck the four corners of the house where they were. The house fell on Job's children, killing them all. These seemingly ceaseless and senseless calamities caused Job to tear his robe, shave his head, and fall on the ground and worship. He said, "Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, the scripture says, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. The Satan, thwarted for now, said, "Let me at him again." So it inflicted loathsome sores on Job from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Job used a potsherd to scratch himself as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job said to her, "You speak as any foolish woman would speak. Shall we receive good from God and not receive evil?" Despite all this, the scripture says Job did not sin with his lips. Later, three of his dearest friends came to comfort and commiserate with him. The majority of the book of Job is Job expressing his bewilderment about why such awful things happened to him when he did everything according to God's word, helping the poor, the widowed, the orphan, giving good counsel, worshiping properly. Job laments his misfortune without knowing that all this was the Satan's doing, albeit with God's permission. But Job does not hold back in asking God that universal question we all ask when we are confronted with bad news. Why? What have I done? Why am I being punished? Job said, "My soul is weary of my life. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." He makes comparisons between himself and other everyday objects through the book's 42 chapters, but here in chapter 10, he likens himself to cheese, and he complains about his life to the big cheese, to God. The idiom, the big cheese, is an informal way to describe someone who is important or powerful, especially within a particular organization or context, like the universe. The phrase is also used to refer to a high-ranking executive, an influential figure, or a boss. That would be God. Job acknowledges God's power and promises. He acknowledges that God has made him and he's grateful to God, but why would God create him and then destroy him? God molded him like clay, and surely God was happy with his creation at some point. But now Job is reduced to ashes and dust. What was the meaning of all this? God's heart, Job moaned, was shut up and hidden from him, and he could not reach it. It all sounds so cheesy. Why did Job choose an image of cheese for his life? Cheese goes through a lot to become cheese. As we all probably know, it begins with milk. It takes about 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of cheese, though this ratio changes depending on the type of milk you use, goat milk, sheep milk, donkey milk. Did you know that there are about 2,000 varieties of cheese? It is now my mission in life to taste them all, except that one with the maggots. Gouda is the most popular cheese of all, but Swiss cheese is more religious. It's really holy. The cheese made from the endangered Serbian Balkan donkey sells for over $600 per pound. Cheese was first made by accident over 7,000 years ago. Nomads carrying milk in sacks made of animal stomachs discovered after a long trek that the milk, curdled by the heat and churned by the movement of their pack animals, turned into something soft and delicious. Cheese making involves processes including pasteurization, coagulation and separation, pressing, brining, cheddaring, shaping, molding, and aging. Here's two questions for you. What cheese is made backwards? Edam, E-D-A-M. And why couldn't anyone find the cheesemaker after the accident? Because he was trapped under debris. Sorry. So cheese was indeed a fitting metaphor for Job. Like cheese, he had to go through a lot of stuff, take a lot of heating and beating before he came forth like gold, like a nice round mound of cheese. Of course, in the middle of his ordeal, Job complained to God, "You're shredding me and I'm dreading thee. You're beating, berating me and grating me." Job took his complaint to the head cheese, the one who had all the answers and all the blessings. Job was later restored to his former fortunes in the best case scenario with even more livestock and 10 more children. But God never explained why what had happened to him had happened to him, never told him that cheddar days were ahead of him. God challenged Job in return. "Were you around when I made the world, Job? Were you around when I packed the sea with all its marvelous creatures? Do you give the horse its might? Do you clothe its neck with thunder? Do you know anything about anything, Job? No, you don't. So cheese it, Job." Properly humbled, Job relented and repented. He said, "I know that you can do all things, God, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. You, God, are good enough for me." Sorry. Even as he suffered and wailed, Job knew God was taking care of him. Even though he was just a hunk of cheese, of course that's what God would do for Job and for all of us, continue to care for and cultivate us through hard times. Anthony Boudrain said, you have to be a romantic to invest yourself, your money, and your time in cheese. Yes, indeed, God loves us to the green cheese moon and back. Job never forgot his encounter with God. He never took his life and his blessings for granted. He had learned to smile and say cheese, even in drastic moments of unease, because God, the big cheese, was watching over him and would bless him again. Cheeses and wheezes got to go through some tough stuff, get curdled and hurtled before it becomes tasty. But under the learning and churning of God, we can, like Job, come out round and ripe and even better cheddar than ever. Let us pray. God, we go through a lot of stuff, but you are always there to show us what wonderful things can be through your power. Even as we churn and yearn and discern, shape us and mold us to be exactly what you want us to be. Amen.
With my soul.